A six-week timetable to build a 20,000-member community was absolutely doable last year. That's not realistic because you're not actually bringing people together that have that sense of community, that sense of belonging, right? That purpose-driven mentality. And that's what community has always been about. That's what it's always going to be about. And the Bear, everybody wants to say, well, what do we need to change to do it better? Like, things are changing. They've been changing. The builders are doing the right thing, right? And they're trying to engage people in the right ways, and they're trying to make things that make the experience better for as many people as possible. I think communities really are going to be the central force of social media moving forward.
To the ninth episode of Not a JPEG, a podcast for the creators and entrepreneurs building and innovating within Web3.
Where each week we explore everyday sectors of modern society and how NFTs will revolutionize how we start, scale, and sell businesses. My name's Katarina. Over here we got Michael.
Hello.
We're the hosts of Not a JPEG. Today's episode is super duper special because it's one of our first interview episodes. But before I get into that, if you're listening to us on any podcasting app or watching our beautiful faces on YouTube and you like what you're seeing and hearing, make sure you hit that subscribe button and the little bell to stay updated and notified with everything Not a JPEG. And if you're on social media, you definitely are going to want to check us out at Not a JPEG. We process tiny mic drop 1 minute snippets of all of our episodes, which make it easy to reflect on it, share, and comment on. And so this episode definitely has a lot of really great important points. So I definitely think you should go check us out.
So it's a very special episode, like Katarina mentioned. Mm-hmm. And why is it a special one?
It's our first interview.
Yeah. And who are we bringing on board?
A lovely individual by the name of James Turner. He is the founder and CEO of a Web3 company called Accelerate, which focuses on community building and helping community managers develop skills and a network and opportunities as people build within Web3.
And we thought there was no better person to bring on board for an episode where we dive really deep into community, what community is and how it differs from our current understanding of the word, basically audiences and followers that we see within Web2, and how that is different within the space. So without further ado, James.
James, what's your elevator pitch personally? Who are you?
Who am I? My background is in operations. So like prior to Web3, I was in QSR, quick service restaurant, where I was general manager, operations manager, area manager. From there, I went on to be a director of talent and culture for Procter & Gamble company, Mr. Clean Car Wash, helped them scale their operations with a focus on talent and culture. They purchased the car wash from a family-run business that never really understood how to develop people and develop culture within their company, right? Because family-run, and they ran it for like 20 years. So they had people at the same position making the same money, getting no additional training for 20 years, right? So there was no no development, right? So I went in and I developed an entire culture for them. So basically, I was a community manager before I knew what community management was.
So you were born for the job.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, I mean, thing that I've always loved about being in operations and being a general manager, director of operations, whatever, was the ability to take people that might not have any type of or might not have the needed skill sets to move forward in their career and help them along. Right. And be that kind of pivotal turning point for them, or help them achieve that pivotal turning point. So they never have to go back to like living minimum wage ever again. Like they can, you know, and that was one of the things that I've always loved. And community lets me do that at more of a scale. Right. So that's one thing I loved about this as soon as I jumped into it. So like I've been around in crypto since 2017. And like my first foray in it was with steemit.com, which was the first social media blockchain. So like I've always I've always known that the intersection of like people and blockchain technology, that's the future, right? I've always just had an understanding like people coming together to do cool shit. That's always been my like thesis of getting into the space. Like that's what I came in. I didn't get into Bitcoin. I didn't get into Ethereum. I didn't get into Litecoin, and Litecoin was big back then. It was steemit.com. So, and then like in 2021, when NFTs came out, there was no talk about utility back then. It was just people coming together to do cool shit and make cool shit and make, you know, and so I was just like, this is it. This is everything. It wasn't like some blockchain technology like Steemit. This was literally just people coming together and saying, I like this thing. I like these creators. I like this community. And we want to work together to achieve greatness. Right. I jumped in head first. I started managing, I was a moderator, for a project called Creatures. I just gave my time freely. It was the very first NFT project on Solana, minted back in March. And obviously with my background, the founder was like, dude, you should not be a moderator. Do you want to be community manager? And I was like, sure. Yeah. So I took a lateral move, quit my full-time, you know, position as a operations director, and jumped in for a lot less money. And then from there on, we grew out our company to manage dozens and dozens of clients, help lots and lots of people achieve success in their careers. Many of our community managers that we've trained have now gone on to mint out their own projects. They're working for themselves now. They have teams of their own now. It's everything that I've wanted to do that I did in my operations career, that I'm now able to do for people at a larger scale. And I absolutely love it.
Right. TLDR of who you are is you are the community manager. You are the guy who builds community, yeah?
Yeah. And trains community managers, but yes.
I love what you said, James, that you entered the space not for the technology, but for the human element, which, you know, a lot of people, when they think about, you know, and I don't mean people in the space, I mean people outside of space, when they think about the blockchain, they think about crypto, they think about NFTs, they do think it's pretty cold and sterile, and you know, lacking that element of humanity. But you kind of saw the opposite, right, when your first foray into the space?
Yeah, 100%. Technology to me is only, you know, I think people want to think of it as like black and white, but technology, I mean, look what we're doing right now. This was people thinking this is the devil or cold, and you know, oh, your cell phones, nobody's ever going to be able to connect with each other on a cell phone, these dumb kids, right? Like, and we're doing it right now, right? So technology, I've always just, it's always been able to help people get together and connect. And I think that blockchain is just the next iteration of that connection.
100%. So with that said, we've sort of established your background. Tell us, what you're currently building in Web3. What are you up to?
So currently, Accelerate, obviously, we're still managing communities. We manage NFL Rivals, which is an official NFL project. We manage ZBite, which is a pretty large, very first decentralized platform ever to help basically low code, no code your way into dApp creation. You can make like an NFT minter in 10 seconds. It's pretty insane. Yeah. They're cool. Backed by like Nitin Kumar and Silicon Valley guys. It's pretty substantial. They just had their first $10 million raise not too long ago. And
wow.
Yeah, and they're on their way to their second raise here soon. So it's pretty fun. Good times. And that's cool. The agency side is great. But what we're really trying to do is the thing that I spoke about a minute ago, which is help people grow in the space and train more community managers, specifically in certain geographic locations that the space doesn't really respect too much, like Nigeria, India, Philippines. We're training them and giving them the tools that, and we're not even allowing people from like, and this might sound like bad, but I don't care. We're not even allowing people from like Europe or US into our training at the moment, because we're trying to level that playing field and give people you know, give people that are kind of passed up, you know, a real shot. And that's what we're doing currently.
That's awesome. So for people who don't, you know, because there definitely are people who are listening to this who don't even know what community management is. What is the role of a community manager, and what does Accelerate do that, you know, manages this community, quote unquote?
That's a hard question to answer. How I like to put what we do is we like to scale the unscalable behavior, right? So that's the one-on-one human connection. That's what we really try to do. That's how you build communities. Like anyone that says, you'll see a lot of people say things like, oh no, communities are about, it's not about the individual. Like, of course it's about the individual. It's always about the individual. And you have to be able to individualize the experience. Yes, you have to do that at scale. And that's what's so difficult about community management, is because how do you do that? And it differs from community to community. But I will say the career field is so nascent that so many people are looking for community managers and kind of thinking about it in the wrong way, where they're looking at them almost as a marketing arm, but that's not community management. So we don't market. Our job is not to sell, right? Our job is not to bring people in. Our job is to engage. Our job at the core is to bring them from just a passive kind of audience member into a core, engaged, active participant with the brand and community, right? So they, whether that's like, you know, helping you create content, whether that's answering questions in a community, whether that's being some type of extracurricular, if you will, type of role for your organization, right? So that's the goal of community management, is to move them through that process. And that's what we try to do.
So moving from just an audience member that's kind of absorbing content and not really doing much to actually being a contributor. Is that exactly kind of the TLDR?
100%. So, and it doesn't even have to be contribution as like a lot of people think. Like, so a lot of people think that contributors are only content, right? So like a lot of people will be like, well, we just want them to create content. Well, dude, you're a basic crypto exchange. Like, what content are they creating around a crypto exchange, right? So you have like a contributor can be, like I said, it could be someone in your community that loves what you guys are doing so much, or loves a founder or somebody on the team so much that they're there to contribute their time in other ways. That could be an ambassador. That can be somebody, and that's not just shilling. That's somebody like going out and doing all sorts of different activities, right? That could be somebody mm-hmm. that's in there kind of moderating. That can be somebody that is posting, you know, helping you find job applicants or developers to help you. Like, there's so many ways to contribute, and each project, each community should be geared towards different things that actually help the brand and help the business, right? Not just, well, we just want this because somebody told us this is what we want. You know, each community is different, and you have to approach it that way. But yes, you want them to be engaged. Audience is active, or audience is passive. Community is engaged. So that's the biggest difference.
I was going to say, it's funny you say that, because it has seemed, you know, over the last 6 to 8 months, that community seems to have been a bit of like a checkbox for many people. It's just something like, oh, we need that. Let's just tick that off and move it off to the side. So just taking a step back then, James, before we sort of dive into the nuances of, you know, how you do what you do, just in your words, because obviously community is, you know, a pretty big buzzword these days. As someone who hails from the advertising industry, it's a word that is used quite liberally, but, you know, it's used in terms of audience and followers, which is obviously not quite the same thing. So in your words, how do you personally define community, and what do you think that distinction between the way we perceive community in Web 3 versus Web 2 is?
The biggest distinction that I like to make is active versus participatory, right? So that's my distinction that I make. I do not believe an audience member. Think about it like this. You go to a concert, right? You really like the band. You love the band, right? And you might even dance around a little bit, right? Like when you're at the concert, right? It might happen. But you're an audience member, right? So there's no active engagement on your part with that band, right? There's no active engagement. Like, how often do you go into their community forums? Probably not often, right? Yeah. Probably not often, right?
Unless you're a diehard fan.
Maybe. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Like somebody that's actively participating, right? In whatever way that is, that's community to me. It's getting people into an active, engaged participation.
And when you say active, how do you define that specifically? Like, is it just a like or a comment, or is it something deeper than that?
That to me is a passive engagement, right? That is not an active participation. Participation. What we're doing right now, this is participation, right? We're participating. We're having dialogue, right? When somebody creates content, right, for your brand, that's active participation. When somebody goes out and tells their friends or sets up a booth for you or something, right? Or goes and volunteers at a booth for you. Like, that's active participation. They go out and they fill out all of your forms, right? They're giving you feedback, right? Like, those are active, right, participatory engagements. That's community to me. Passive engagement, clicks. People click things, click like, dude, I mean, I even do it. Come on. Like, we all just click things. We might not even really be that, like, we're just like, yeah, sure. Like, right. Because we get that little hit of dopamine and it's great, but it's not participation. So that's what we aim to do. We try to shake them out of the matrix, if you will. Right. And get them into a place where they have built a relationship with the brand strong enough to where they want to do more, right? Like, that's it. That's what it's about.
So what do you think motivates people in Web3 to actually take that next step? You know, because this is something I talk about with some of my friends in the space as well, too, is like, does everything need to be an NFT? What's the value of community? Like, what... No. You know, can't you just build community without an NFT? Like, what's motivating people in Web3 to actually take that next step to be participatory in the way you described?
It doesn't matter how a community comes together, on what platform or in what field or, you know, niche, whether it's crypto or music, doesn't matter how it is. What the main thing that drives people, the main motivation is coming together with like-minded people, right? People that share a common purpose, common values, right? Coming together and feeling like you belong. Like, that's one of the sense of belonging is number one. Like, if that's why you see these communities that kind of try to bring everyone in, they don't really work. We were very spoiled over the last couple years because of the sense of urgency to get to extract as much value as you could from the space, right? And so we were able to build communities really quickly. Like, that's why, like, a 6-week timetable to build a 20,000 member community was absolutely doable last year. Like, it was doable and we did it plenty. But that's not realistic. Because you're not actually bringing people together that have that sense of community, that sense of belonging, right? That purpose-driven mentality. And that's what community has always been about. That's what it's always going to be about. But if you dangle a carrot, a big golden carrot in front of people, that's also a motivator. I mean, come on. That's why community was built so quickly in the past, in the past years, that big golden carrot.
I'm actually really curious off of that, what you just said. So yeah, you built community, you know, you said 20K members, whatever, in 6 weeks. Would you argue that that was like a true form of community, or was it actually just a group of people coming together driven by a common goal, which, you know, was basically greed over the last sort of speculative gold rush? Right? We were all, you know, we all know what it's like, because a lot of us entered the space for the money very quickly. So do you see a distinction there versus maybe the communities you're building now that we're no longer in a bull market?
Yeah. Can I even just add to that really quick? I just would like, I have the exact same question. Like, what could you even define those, you know, 20K person communities in 6 weeks as actual communities?
Yes, they came together because of a promise of future, right? Like reward, right? Like, which is ROI on their investment. But it was an amazing thing because it gave the space for mass amounts of people to find each other, right? So like, yes, they came together for that purpose, but in doing so, some of them created amazing communities because they found each other, and there were some underpinning reasons why they joined that community. Projects that had some amazing founders with amazing visions that really captivated their audience enough to engage them, right? And then communities were built. So I think no, they weren't communities at first, but they grew into them because they were able to actually come together and meet each other and find that sense of purpose, which is a beautiful thing.
To add to that, like, you know, that was during the bull run and, you know, things are very different now. So what does that community building from your perspective and your experience looking like? Like, what's the contrast between then and now? Is the quality any better? Is it still the same? Like, what's that look like?
Yeah, quality is definitely better. Well, it also depends on what you're talking about. Are we talking about the NFT space? I would say quality has declined only because most people that are still here, like the community builders, the people that were here to be a part of community and love that aspect of it, they've kind of all gone. Oh. A lot of them have.
Why?
Or most of them got part of, you know, became part of communities and loved that aspect of it. And then they didn't have much money to begin with, I think, a lot of them. And this is just me speculating. But I think it's because they lost a lot. They lost a lot. The communities they loved died, you know, dwindled away. Because a lot of the community, the real community types like myself, I was part of like tiny communities. I loved some of these really unknown NFT projects that had 30, 40, 50 active people and loved these guys, right? Like we were a community. It was smaller. But we knew each other. We all knew each other. Right. We all talked together. We all jumped on calls all the time, right? And then as the market just went down, these communities completely dried up because as one key member left, right, it just takes away. Like we all know that when one of our friends, core friends, leave the group, right, it changes the dynamic of that group of friends. Right. And so the same thing happened with these communities. And so there's still some true communities out there doing their thing, but there's a massive amount of just, you know, trying to extract whatever value they can get while on the way down. But I would say there are other ways and there are communities being built now for the right reasons, slower and purposeful. Right. And that's what I'm absolutely loving about the bear market. Like take the community we're building, and this isn't a plug, but I got to use our community because we're building a good one. You know, we've centered around not NFTs, not, you know, come in and make money, but it's around education, growing, learning and succeeding together, networking, growing your skill set, right? Learning how to be a community manager, learning how to create content, learning how to network on LinkedIn, right? Like all of these things, bringing people together for that. And because of that, providing real value that people can actually get immediately and see gratification pretty quickly from it because they can put it into practice, right? That's growing the community and a strong community. We have a really, it's only 500 members, but it's stronger than most communities I know that have 10, 15,000 members in their Discord. So, you know, so yeah, there's great community still building and they're doing it for the right reasons and they're doing it the right way. It's providing real value and bringing people together around a common shared purpose. And you're going to do pretty well with just those two things.
Yeah. I think most realize when the bear market hit that it wasn't a race, it was a marathon. And that those who actually stuck around are building things, like you said, for the right reasons, which, and then I love that we touched base on that, you know, differentiating factor. And I don't think that only applies to community. I think that applies to almost all facets of the space. The people still here are here for the promise of what they can do with this technology down the road and what they can build and sort of move the space forward versus just the quick buck and the short-term payout, right? As that is, for the most part, I mean, you still see it with, you know, we had Art Gobblers not too long. You still see it with projects, but for the most part, is nowhere near where it was, you know, 6 to 12 months ago.
I have a kind of a follow-up question related to this. James, why is Web3 and NFTs specifically the space to build community? Like versus building community offline, you know, using, I don't know, some other platform that has nothing to do with tokenization. Like why, what makes building community in Web3 special and important?
So I think one of the biggest pieces of technology that NFTs gave is an ability to showcase that you are part of that community, right? And that helps bring that sense of belonging in a tangible way, because sense of belonging up until now was intangible. Like there was just, oh, I belong. I feel like I belong here. Mm-hmm. You got some high fives, whatever. Maybe that's tangible, I guess. But now we have an ability to show people like, no, I belong here, right? Like this is my tribe. These are my people. And I think that's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful to be able to see, like even now, like I'm an SMB holder, Solana Monkey Business, right? And I, when I see somebody else with an SMB, we were both like, hey, monkey, we immediately connect, right? Immediately. Mm-hmm. And that's powerful. I don't want to say, because a lot of people think like this sets us completely apart, because there's other ways that, like, you know, there's avatars people could have and, you know, on forums to show they're part of like some subgroup on the forum or whatever. But there's definitely other ways to build community. I want to say Web3 is like the end all be all of community. Community was building. I mean, there's been community builders the last 2-3 decades mm-hmm. doing things way before Web3, and they're going to be doing them after. Well, I don't know about after, because Web3 is here to stay. But I would just say that's the main thing. It's a powerful tool. But it doesn't have to, you don't have to have the NFTs to build an amazing community. Now, I will say another thing, just throwing this out, POAPs is also really cool. Proof of participation tokens, token gating, anytime you can gate, right? Like we're humans, we have very specific psychological responses to certain things. And if we can't have access to something, we generally want to have access to that thing. Yeah. So token gating, it's, you know, I mean, we're playing the games of psychological, you know, the psych games, right? But it works, if it works and it brings people together, I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's manipulation. I think it's a good thing. If it's for the right reasons, it's a good thing.
Sure.
I was going to add, so it seems like, because, you know, and Katarina and I have talked about this at length too, is, you know, as the world becomes more digital and communities have moved from, you know, just hanging out on your block with your neighbors to obviously spending time on Twitch, Reddit, Twitter, right? These communities have been in Discord, right? They become more digital. So the whole element of you know, non-fungible tokens and the idea that we've now proven, you know, digital authentication, there's proven ownership of something has probably accelerated, people's active, I guess, participation, going back to how you had defined it earlier, because we have a stake in the game, because we can actively, to your point, prove that we are part of this group versus being able to fake that in some way, right? And that's, I think, a pretty important distinction with why that true level of community that we're sort of seeing has really taken off with the space.
Yeah, I literally was just going to say exactly what you're saying.
Were you?
We're both on the same wave this morning. I was going to ask, like, do you think that the ownership aspect of an NFT plays into people's desire to build community? Like that is uniquely a NFT thing, right? We think so, but I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, I think, I want to say it's uniquely NFT because I think ownership always drives people. When you get ownership of anything, right, you have that, a response, a positive response. You own it. It's something of yours. So I think that's positive. But I want to say it's uniquely NFTs, because I can, like, in our community, I can give someone ownership of a specific thing within that community, and that can serve as just as much of an incentive, right? Because especially if the person that they are getting the ownership from has influence or perceived influence within that community, right? Then when that person of influence gives them ownership of the thing, whatever that thing is, like, hey man, like the AMAs are your thing, right? And they're going to crush it because you did it, you gave it to them, and they think you're like, you know, amazing, and you have influence. So I don't think it's uniquely NFTs, but I will say, like, having something that is egalitarian ish and spread out to where people can access much more ability to, you know, have that thing. And I know I'm kind of convoluting things here, but I think that is unique to NFTs. I don't think there's anything else because it can be proven. And it's on the blockchain, and there's no way for anybody to take it from you unless, you know, some craziness happens.
I just have a sort of follow-up to that. In terms of building, you know, and you touched base on this when you were talking about, okay, yeah, we're building through Discord. I remember listening to a point. I don't quite remember the stat. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes. But the stat was something like, once you've built a community on a specific platform, it's very hard to migrate and move that group of people onto another platform. Do you have any experience around that? Anything to weigh in on? Like, you know, for all those building on Discord for now, if something better comes around, what, you know, are we going to jump ship and move to the next thing? How easy would that be? That sort
no
of
way.
Thing.
No way. You can't do it. So like your home is your home. It's your home. People don't want to leave their home.
Right.
You know, so yeah, you can't do it. I've not seen it successful yet. I don't think if something new comes around, people are going to leave what they're doing unless like that's like, let's, you know, if the platform absolutely dies. Yeah. But I think that the risk to the community is the community dies along with it. Because there's that attachment that was the community was on there and that died and, you know, so, but we'll see. Discord isn't dead yet, and you know we're still kicking.
Do you think Discord serves your communities? Like, do you think Discord's set up in a way that's perfect, or like is Telegram communities better, or do you think like what's lacking, or what's, you know, working?
Yeah. So I do not think Telegram's better in any way, shape, or form. It's a chat room. It's a chat room with a ability to post announcements. Discord's powerful. There's nothing else on the market even close to Discord. Period. There's nothing. There's nothing out there. There's different platforms that have certain use cases that are great for certain types of communities. You know, like Nas.io, they're building something pretty cool. But that's not the same type of thing. It's like integrates all the different platforms, all of the different socials and emails into one thing where they can kind of engage them that way. So it's not the same. If you're looking for one platform where you can engage on that, once again, that's scaling the unscalable behavior, that one-on-one interaction where you're actually engaging with your audience and bringing them into engaged participation, right? There's nothing like Discord. It gives us all the tools, all the ability to build out a server exactly how we want it. Like, people say that it's very complicated. It is if you don't know what you're doing. Like, yeah. It's if you don't know how to build a Discord server, yes, your server is going to suck and people are going to be like, what's going on? Where do I go? Yeah. But like, if you go into our server, go check out Accelerate Server, not plugin, but I'm just saying, you go into our server, the onboarding process is very clear. We've had nothing but amazing feedback saying like, dude, this is crazy how just amazingly efficient the onboarding process is. Yeah. Because like, we know what we're doing.
If Discord could be improved at all from a community making perspective, what would that look like in your opinion?
User, just like the interface can use some, definitely, you know, make it better. Security, they are working on security, but security definitely needs to be improved. Cause there's absolutely no reason for there to be as many, hacks as there are. I think the biggest reason for that is obviously they want to make it developer friendly, So people can just keep adding different bots and making different cool things for the platform. But in doing so, they, you know, that's a big security risk, the kind of open source nature of it. So yeah, those two things, user interface and security, if they can get those two things really nailed down, which they're trying, they're working on things. They just rolled out things called forums, which is basically like a Reddit within Discord, and it's dope. And it's really making things pretty easy. App integration right there. You can search for apps right there in Discord now. They have like, if people are raiding your server, you can say report raid and it can stop the raid and stuff like that.
Wow.
So they're doing things to make it better. Slowly but surely, but it's happening.
That's all wonderful. You know, we sort of obviously know the platforms that all that are working. You know, we've talked a little bit about the background of community. For those brands and entrepreneurs who are absolutely fresh to, you know, to Web3, they know nothing about it. They're jumping in. They hear they need to start building community. What are the most important things they need to, or the most important factors that contribute to community that they need to consider right off the bat if they were just diving into the space right now?
Number one is they have to understand the timeline and the market right now is super long. It's just as long as it's ever taken to build community. It's right. Just that we were spoiled over the last 2 years.
Yep.
So they have to understand it's going to take 6 months plus. But other than that, understanding the timeline, taking the necessary time, it's all about time. Like, so taking the necessary time to actually build out a legitimate strategy. Like one thing that I see a lot of people come into the space that don't know anything about community is they think it's all marketing, right? So they'll pay a marketer, you know, for 4 week lead time to develop like an amazing marketing strategy. But a community manager says, hey, I need 3 to 4 weeks lead time to build you an amazing community strategy. Why? Why? Just set up what? You can't set up the Discord? It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, it's a little bit more than that. They need to understand that this is a serious process and take the necessary time to build out and find somebody that absolutely knows, knows a good bit about building communities and allow them the time to build you a really amazing engagement strategy and community strategy and design. Yeah, those two things. Understanding timeline and giving people the time to develop.
So when you say community strategy, when you use that word, what does that entail? What do you mean by that specifically? Like what goes into building something like that out for an existing brand or your client?
You start with your whys, right? Like why are you building? Okay, like you have to start with your motivation because that's where you need your community members to start, right? Is their whys? Why are they joining you? And so it's not just wise for you. Everything on a community strategy is two-way. That's a big difference between a marketing strategy. Like a marketing strategy, I love marketers. Okay. I'm not saying that they're bad. Okay. But it's basically like, how do we trick people to click the thing and buy our stuff? Right.
Essentially.
Like that's marketing, right? Like it's like all tricks and gimmicks and, you know, stuff like that. And it's cool. There's some really good people out there that do amazing marketing, but this is a two-way street. Community is a two-way street. So everything that you're building is two-way. So like the why is why are you building and why should they join you? Right. Like, and then what, like what value are you giving them and what value are, do you need from them? Right. So like two-way street, like, so those are the things, why, motivation, value statement, right? So value that you're getting from them, value that they're giving to you. You build out your 30, 60, 90, just like every strategy, because now you have your whys, you have your value that you want to build out. And now you build out your big rocks, right? So those are your big goals, like massive goals, 6 months, 9 months, whatever. And then once you have those, you break them down into, you know, quarterly, monthly, weekly, right? A certain cadence, right? So you understand, and that's why you need 3 to 4 weeks, because you need to get, hopefully they have a marketing team that you connect with and say, hey, these are what we're thinking. What are you thinking? Right. Okay, cool. And then you guys talk, and then you talk with the founders, you talk with the core team, and then you go, oh, okay, cool. You guys don't like that. Okay. Well, blah, blah, blah. Right. So it takes time. That takes a lot of time. So 3 to 4 weeks. So once you have your big rocks, you break those down. You break that down into a cadence. And then once you have all of that, right? You can then understand how you incentivize people to go through that cadence, right? To go through it. And that's when you build out your incentive map, because the incentives that you first use within the first few weeks are not going to be the same incentives you continue to use month one, month two, month three. Like, your incentives need to change along with your goals, right? Because the goals should be changing. And all of that should be changing. Everything as you're building. The goals in month three should not be the same goals as month one. They're all different, right? And then once you have that, now you build out your KPIs, right? So you build out your KPIs around everything you just built to make sure that you are on track with your incentives, to make sure they're even working, and to make sure that, like, they're the right incentives, because we get it wrong. Everyone gets it wrong. People get things wrong, especially with the space. What was cool, like, if it's a 3 to 4 week, build out time, what was cool 4 weeks ago when you launch might be cool for another month, until some new project comes out and does something cool in their Discord or whatever. And everybody goes, oh, we want that. And now what you're doing is cliche and tired and old. And, you know, so you have to be able to pivot. And that's why the big rocks are there, so you can have your kind of northern lights. But yeah, that's generally how it goes. And that's why it takes a lot of time, 3 to 4 weeks.
Very cool. And when you say, just touching back on, you mentioned incentive and incentive structures. What do you mean by that? How do incentives work within a community?
So there's two types of incentives, right? So you have your tangible incentives and your intangible incentives, right? And this is where you have to understand what community you're building, and you have to understand your whys, right? So the value that they are coming for. For example, take Accelerate. People are coming to us to learn, grow, and succeed together, right? So learn, okay? That's the value that we're giving them. So incentive, you get to learn. You get to get a course. You get to get a free course. You get one-on-one time with me, right? Where I can answer any questions you have, right? I can look at your CV. I can look at, you know, your LinkedIn profile, right? I could tell you what you need to change, how your content isn't working, why it's not working, right? All of those things, that's value, right? That we're providing. And because I know the why, I know the value that they're looking for, because I'm targeting those specific people that are looking for that specific value. Right. And then you deliver it. Right. So that's incentive. All of those are incentives, and those are tangible and intangible. Like, a certificate you get from training is a tangible incentive. Me shouting you out on the announcement channel as, hey, man, this guy just made some amazing content on LinkedIn. Go check it out. That's an intangible incentive. Right. So all of these things matter. And you just have to think about all of those before you build, so you know what the people are coming in and what incentives actually will motivate them and drive them. So you're not just spraying and praying.
And have you, do the incentives within building community in Web3, are they different than the kind of incentives were offered? You know, like, I'm in advertising, for instance, a lot of the time that we only really see, you know, active participation, going back to what you were saying, is when there's some sort of sweepstakes, right? People love the shit out of sweepstakes, right? You offer them some sort of competition, boom, that's really the only time you see them interacting with the brand. Do you find that the incentives in Web3 are different, or are they more meaningful than kind of the way that brands tried to your point, you know, you were kind of mentioning a thing about marketing, manipulate or trick people into participating in Web2?
Yeah. So I think there's plenty of brands in Web2 that have done it right. Take Duolingo. Have you ever used Duolingo?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So check out their forums, the leveling structure and the kudos that you get, all the different points, right? Like, they did it right, right? They did, you know, tangible and intangible. Those leveling systems and all that, like, those are tangible. Yep. Rewards. Those make you feel amazing. And then they do the intangible, where you get a show off to all of your friends that you're learning all of these things, and then they see you're learning, and then, you know, like, so, like, there, it's pretty cool. So they've done it right, and they didn't have to do any type of promise of rewards or anything like that. Or I don't think Web3 has any type of, like, new thing other than the gating mechanisms that can, like NFTs, other than those that can help drive, be a driver into community, But I don't think the actual engagement mechanisms or incentives, once they're there, have changed at all. It's still the same primary motivating factors for being a human being. Like, it's the same things, right? So no, I don't think it's changed. I don't think there's really any difference.
Right. The human behavior has remained unchanged. The technology is a little bit different, and it's just being adapted to these existing ways of interaction as humans do, right?
Cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If there was anything that creators could be doing differently, and this kind of leads into my next question, so we'll blend them together. If there's anything that creators right now could be doing differently to maybe move us forward in this bear market, or, you know, try and bring on the next chapter of NFTs and Web3 and do that through community, what does that look like? What's the pivot?
Yeah, so I think the creators that are still here that are actually creating are doing everything right now. Like real creators. You know, they are engaging. They are, you know, taking calls with their community members. They are trying to provide as much value as possible. So I think they're doing that right. I don't think there's necessarily a pivot that has to come. Like, and I think we're on the right track. I think everybody, you know, right now in the bear, and this happened a few years ago too, in the bear, everybody wants to say, well, what do we need to change to do it better? Like, things are changing. They've been changing. NFTs was a massive change, right? Like, POAPs is a massive change. Like, the builders are doing the right thing, right? And they're trying to engage people in the right ways, and they're trying to make things that make the experience better for as many people as possible. But to your first question, I did think about that for a second. The future of community and Web3. I think that the future for community is going to be one of the largest factors of even larger than we have right now. And especially with like VR, AR, metaverse coming in 10, 15 years, like people want to say 5 years. Nah, it's like 10 years away.
Yeah,
like
for
what people really think, like, you know what I mean? But like, you can think of community as kind of the low latency answer to the massive amount of data that your brain's going to get plugged in to the metaverse, right? Communities, these text-based, these chat-based communities are always going to be there, and they're going to be even larger because everyone's going to be plugged in, and they're going to need that place that they can kind of go, okay, I kind of don't want to just like keep playing right now or keep doing this thing. I don't want to have this thing on my face right now. They're going to plug out, they're going to go on, and they're going to do chat and everything like that. And that's all going to be community-based. That they're going to be in the communities that they actually want to participate in, because they're getting all of their content through VR and AR. The communities are going to be kind of their fallback, where I think most time is actually going to be spent. I don't think people are going to be consuming just as much AR and VR content as they are right now with just regular scrolling and stuff. So I don't think that's going to be as big. I think communities really are going to be the central force of social media moving forward. You can also think of it, how I like to say, is like the mindless scrolling is kind of like short form engagement, whereas community is like long form engagement. So that's kind of also how I like to put it. Whereas like short form, you know, it's fun, it's nice, but people, you all watch videos, and we all watch YouTube videos for an hour, 45 minutes, right? That's kind of our go-to thing when we want to just kind of like enjoy what we're doing, right? Instead of just mindless scrolling. But anyway, I digress.
No, so it's interesting. Yeah. So it's almost like, because I agree with you 100%. I think, you know, yeah, 10, 15 years from now, we're all in the metaverse. You know, let's picture that scenario. Community within that space will probably be bigger just by virtue, just by the sake of it moving from the physical world into the digital world. You know what I mean? Like that will replace a lot of the ways we get community and interact with one another, and, you know, in the community center, in the church basement, on the hockey team, you know, whatever way you build that community offline will suddenly come online, right? And just get stronger and bigger and play a bigger role. So I guess by virtue of it just becoming more digital, we'll see that grow and grow. Like we're not going back. There's no turning back. It's just going to keep going forward, right?
I love what you said there, Jude, because it's you mix that also like creator economy, like what you do, what you guys are doing, right? Like all of these communities are going, like we're going to just see, people think communities are going to be centralized. There's just going to be massive communities. I don't think that at all. I think communities are going to be, you know, 500, maybe 1,000 people hanging out. Like that's what I think communities are going to be on very for creators like yourselves, you know, and they're going to have their 5-6 creator communities that they love to be a part of. And that's that to me, I think is going to be the future of community, are these small niche creator driven communities.
It's not just a checkbox, because that's, again, you know, we kind of mentioned this earlier in the episode, but we have seen that for many. And you know what? It's not just with community. We've seen it with marketing and advertising, you know, talking with some other people in the space. It's like, yeah, a lot of people are like, all right, we need the marketing. Okay, we've hired someone, we've outsourced that, check. Now let's move on. It's just a checkbox. And that's not how you build a successful long-term project. You really need to put the time and effort into each single one of the arms and the elements of it to bring it to fruition, right?
You know what's insane to me? Is that these people that are doing this are successful people, right? So they've made money, they have businesses, they're CEOs, they're, you know, some of them are millionaires, but then they come in here and they think the same way that they built all of this other success doesn't, the same meticulous nature that they had to build before just doesn't apply now. And it's crazy to me. I'm like, what? Like, why? Like, what makes you think that this is any different? You know, like there's no difference. It's no difference.
But I think, you know what it comes down to, and you know, we see this, if you're not on top of if you don't have a thorough understanding of a venture, something that you're jumping into, it's very easy to write that off as like, I don't understand it. Someone else does. It's somebody else's problem. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think personally, that's where a lot of it comes from. Like, it's such a big, scary word, the blockchain, non-fungible tokens, crypto. Right. And so for most people, they're like, okay, I have the acumen that I bring from the Web2 world, but like all the other stuff, I'm just going to outsource to someone because they know better. But truth of the matter is one's going to care about what you create more than you do. And if that passion and that attention to detail doesn't come from you at the beginning, forget about it. It's not going to come from somebody else. Right.
No, dude, leaders, it's the shadow of a leader, right? Like you are the leader. Like you can be like, well, I hired you. You're a professional. Yeah, that's great. That's great. I'm a professional. The marketer is a professional. But if you're not sitting there, like I'm just being honest, you nailed it, man. Because the projects that succeed have those leaders, the founder leader types. Those are the ones that succeed. Those are the ones that succeed in the space because they are passionate about it. And that passion drives things. Like, if you're passionate about your project and you believe in it, I want to work with you because you're going to make me passionate about your project and you're going to give that to me. And I'm going to be like, dude, this guy's awesome. And yeah. I want this to succeed, you know, but like, if you're just like, meh, I don't care. What do you think is going to happen with us? Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you know,
passion anyway, is infectious. Right, it's so infectious. And Katerina and I talk about this all the time. You know, as a small side note is, you know, when you meet someone like what you just said, when you meet someone who is passionate about the thing they do and the thing that they love, even if I don't give a shit about that thing, I am suddenly 10 times more interested. Like,
so true.
Like, again, nothing against tennis. I was never a big tennis player, never a big tennis fan. I have a friend who loves tennis, speaks, and suddenly I'm more interested in it because I can see mm-hmm. how much he loves it. Mm-hmm. And that's true for every facet of life, doubly so when it comes to building out, you know, something like a project in the space, right? So
I guess the only other question we really have, what is the most important lesson that you have learned since on your journey in Web3?
That relationships, and this is true, I think, of everything in life, but relationships is what it's about. Everything, all of my success has come from the connections I've made in these communities, in these NFT communities, everybody in my circle I've met through these same communities that I now manage. And I've been blessed enough to meet some amazing people that have helped me along. And that would be my number one thing that I try to get out to everyone is meet good, you know, really just network, learn from people. Don't come in here swinging an axe, you know, acting like you're the thing, you know, like really, really get in there and make some real relationships, because there's so many intelligent people in this space, much more intelligent than I am. And I just love to be able to say that I'm friends with them. So, that would be the number one thing.
I agree with that. I couldn't agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, you're absolutely right. I think it applies to every facet of life. But, you know, when you're, you know, the big thing with this is that we're all learning at the same time, right? There's a certain level of humility you need to bring to the table when you're dabbling in the space, because there really are no experts. There's just people who have been in it months or years longer than you have. But we're all learning, we're all growing, and it's all happening in real time too, right? Because it's like the space is moving forward and it's changing rapidly at that. So I think that's the mindset that we have entering it too, is just like open mind, be nice, be kind, be humble.
Be interested in other humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be in your own echo chamber. Meet new people and network, as you said, pretty much. That's really cool, man. That's really
cool. Love that, guys.
All right, James, honestly, thank you so much. I guess one last thing is, how do listeners get in touch with you? How do they learn more about what you're doing? Shill us everything.
Shill us everything. All right. So you can find me on LinkedIn, James Turner, Accelerate, founder, CEO. You can find me on Twitter, James_gets_it, James gets it, because that's what I do.
True. It's true.
And that's... and that's about it. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Wow. That was like, I feel so inspired after talking to James in so many ways, you know, on the side, building your own projects or figuring out as an entrepreneur what to do next, where I'm at right now in my life. Like the focus on community that he brought in today's episodes really made me think about how I've created community in the past and kind of like what I would do and change, especially from a digital standpoint, moving into the NFT space.
Absolutely. It was incredibly thoughtful, very informative. And I hope for anyone listening, you know, if you are a brand manager, you're an entrepreneur, you're a creative, hope it gives you a little bit of info to think about. And you know, I hope he proposed a lot of great questions to think through when you're considering your own journey.
Oh yeah.
With building community.
Yeah. So we hope you enjoyed the 9th episode of Not a JPEG. If you like what you saw and heard today on Not a JPEG, you know, hit that little subscribe button and bell on wherever you're listening to this. And check us out at Not a JPEG Podcast on every social media platform. We've got tons of great little mic drops to share with you. And, you know, go connect with James on LinkedIn. He's got some awesome threads that he posts that really inspire me and I'm sure would inspire you. And, you know, with that said, go tell your community, or, you know, write down to tell your community that you're building in the future that Not a JPEG is your new favorite podcast. Thanks so much.
We'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.